You are Locked On Wolverines, your daily podcast on the Michigan Wolverines, part of the Locked On Podcast Network.
It's not before noon, just afternoon, but it's Monday. It seems like it's been a while since we've done a Monday version of the Locked On Wolverines podcast, but we are back. Locked On Wolverines podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, where it's your team every day. I am your man on the ground, Isaiah Hole, publisher of Wolverines Wire through USA Today Sports and Media Group, and we obviously have quite a few things to talk about today. I wanted to do an emergency podcast over the weekend, but I could not bring myself to do it, unfortunately, because I went and covered... I went on Friday night and covered West Bloomfield at Oak Park. It was a blowout. West Bloomfield won 39-0. Rashawn Benny didn't even play for Oak Park. He had apparently some kind of knee injury. So he was in street clothes and whatever. So I didn't get to actually, let's kind of backtrack here. It wasn't that I didn't get to. I got there. I got to see a game where West Bloomfield absolutely dominated. But one of the things that I don't know that I've mentioned this on the podcast, I'm sure I have. I'm actually allergic to field turf, something in the field turf. And I forgot to take a Claritin before I went out there. And I felt fine for the most part until I got home. And then the next day, that next morning, when what we're going to get to, which is the Big Ten announcing its schedule on Saturday morning, I basically got as much done as I possibly could and just laid in bed for the rest of the day. And Monday, I'm still feeling the effects of it a couple days later. It feels a lot like when I drink alcohol, the allergy, everything that comes from it. But I like being on the field. I enjoy being on the field. So you might be able to hear Zuri barking in the background. And I apologize, but she's crazy. She is a crazy, crazy puppy. Anyway, so we're going to talk about the Big Ten schedule as it was released on Saturday morning. We'll talk about particularly Michigan's schedule, of course. Then I actually want to talk about the NFL, which is not something that I do often, but I feel like Sunday was one of the best NFL days that I've seen in a long time, particularly the 4 o'clock games and the night game. Lots of Wolverines in the mix, which I think is what makes it that much more exciting to talk about. And then we'll finish off talking a little bit about that. I think about the Oak Park and West Bloomfield game. And Donovan Edwards and Dylan Tatum and all of that. But let's start out, obviously, talking about the big news, which is the Big Ten announcing its schedule. Michigan opens at Minnesota in just over a month, 33 days from now? And it's going to be at Minnesota. I think that everyone can pretty much acknowledge Michigan has the hardest schedule in the Big Ten outside of Nebraska, who has to open at Ohio State. The Big Ten did them no favors. Obviously, the Big Ten did Michigan few favors by, listen, they had to eliminate one of the original original conference games, and it could have kept Purdue and could have eliminated Minnesota. It wasn't going to eliminate Wisconsin because that's a protected crossover, but instead, Michigan gets arguably the two best teams on the West side, relatively early in the season, week one. At Minnesota in week four, hosting Wisconsin. Here's the thing, though. For all and any of the complaining that's going on, I just feel like you're Michigan. These are the teams that you're going to play. Back in the old Big Ten, when it was, 11 teams, that's not the old Big Ten, but like when I was in college, when it was 11 teams in the conference, you had to play these teams more often than not. Like you played Minnesota pretty much every year. You played Wisconsin pretty much every year. So I feel like the complaining about it is ridiculous. If you want to prove that you're a really good team, I'd rather have Michigan's schedule than Ohio State's schedule. And that's the thing with a lot of people saying, you know, just schedule layups for the non-conference. I'm not on board with that either. Like, I've been one of those people, like, I really wanted to see Michigan at Washington. I can't wait until the Texas and the Oklahoma games. Can't wait. I think they're going to be so much fun. I would rather have that big game atmosphere than playing Arkansas State. Now, Arkansas State, obviously, they beat, was it Kansas State? So, I mean, you never know what's going to happen, but I'd rather lose to a really good team than win in a dogfight against a team that you have no business losing to. If you're Michigan, I look at this as an opportunity, and I'm sure that's exactly what they're doing. You know, if you come to Michigan, I think you'd rather play Minnesota at this juncture and Wisconsin than having to play, you know, one of the teams that isn't doing as well on the West side. You come to Michigan to play those bigger games. And I think it's good that the Big Ten has a lot more marquee teams right now. Because, I mean, listen, it's going to be a tough stretch. It could be a very tough stretch. When you look at the first four games, Michigan State's the only one that I feel like is an absolute gimme. At Minnesota versus Michigan, hosting Michigan State, at Indiana hosting Wisconsin. I think Michigan will end up being 4-0 in those, ultimately. I'm not straying from my original prediction, even though right now we don't know if Ambry Thomas is coming back. We don't know if Nico Collins is coming back. I do believe that Ambry wants to come back. I haven't talked to him since this got reinstated, but I talked to him after he had left. And he made it sound like he wanted to come back, but didn't know if he was going to be able to. So I think that's still where he stands based off of what he told SiriusXM last week. But regardless, yes, the secondary is a little scary looking, but if the pass rush, which I predicted in my five predictions piece today, not bold predictions, just straight up predictions, I think that the pass rush is going to take a big step forward. That'll help the secondary. They need that. And I think, like, you know, you've got some pieces there that have some experience between the guys who got a lot of experience last year and Quiddy Pay and Aiden Hutchinson, Carlo Kemp, who was injured through a lot of last year, or even some of the new guys that are supposed to step up. I mean, listen, you got a five-star in Chris Hinton. You expect a lot from your five stars. I feel like people aren't as excited about Chris Hinton as they were Aubrey Solomon. And I just think that that's probably because he committed so early in the process compared to Solomon committing on signing day and flipping back, right? Solomon was committed, flipped to Georgia, and flipped back. Or decommitted, and everyone thought he was going to Georgia. I don't remember now. We're too much information trying to be withheld in my brain that I can't remember specifics of a lot of things like that anymore. But nonetheless, I think Indiana is going to be really tough, especially with Michael Penix, if he's able to be healthy. Wisconsin, I just don't think they're going to be as good. I think they're going to be good, and you know, but no Jonathan Taylor. Jonathan Taylor was the bulk of their offense. They lost their leader on the offensive line in Tyler Badass, as I like to call him. No Quintez Cephas. And on the other side, no Zach Bond. I mean, those are some of their most major, major playmakers. And I know Michigan lost a lot, losing 10 guys, but I at least have the feeling that with a lot of the guys that are stepping into those roles, that they are potential upgrades. I think that's the difference. Right? Like, I think Jordan Glasgow was really underrated as a Will linebacker, but I think Josh Ross is an upgrade on him. The only places that I think that might not be is currently in the secondary, but we'll see. I think people are losing way too much faith in Mike Zordich They still had the had a just outside of top 10 pass defense last year, if I'm not mistaken. I know it was still upper metrics, and people act like it was middling, and it wasn't. I still have faith in a lot of the things that Michigan can do. Latter half of the season is a mixed bag at Rutgers, hosting Penn State, which I think it's cool that Penn State comes 2 weeks before Ohio State, because you got at Rutgers, then you got to focus Penn State, hosting Maryland, which who knows what Maryland will be, and then going to Ohio State. I think having this every other type thing, which is what Michigan basically has, going backwards at Ohio State 2 weeks before, hosting Penn State 2 weeks before, hosting Wisconsin the week before, hosting Indiana the week before, Minnesota the week before, Michigan State, then at Minnesota. So I think that this sets up pretty well because you have very little room for error, and I think that that is a good thing. I don't think it's a bad thing. I don't think you necessarily need big warm-up games. And I think Minnesota is going to be a challenge defensively, especially with a decimated secondary. I have faith that they're going to be able to get to Tanner Morgan. Rashad Bateman's back. That's going to be a giant challenge. But I also have faith that Michigan's offense can handle it. Listen, Minnesota faltered hard when they played a team with a pulse that in the regular season, which was, aside from Penn State, who I thought was taking them lightly going into that game. But when they played Wisconsin, they just got decimated. I know Michigan also got decimated, but I don't take much stock in their win over Auburn. I think Auburn had higher expectations. I think it's a tough game, and I think it's one I predicted Michigan to win by, I think, 1 point. But I think Michigan can absolutely do it. I think that Michigan can absolutely beat Wisconsin and Penn State. There's nothing that tells me that Michigan can't beat either of those teams at home. It's the Ohio State game that poses an issue. I predicted 7-1, wouldn't be surprised at 6-2. I think anything below that would be a huge disappointment. Honestly, anything other than 7-1 is a huge disappointment anyway. But we'll see. All right. Let's move on. First, I got to tell you a little bit about Built Bar. Everyone here knows how much I love Built Bar. I've been a huge fan of it. It's a protein bar that tastes like a candy bar. The almond coconut is bar none my favorite. I love toffee almond as well. I put my money where my mouth is. I bought several boxes. You know what? We have a forum of the Locked On hosts on Twitter where we're all talking all the time, and pretty much everyone said the same thing. They gave us a promotional box so that we knew what we were promoting, and then I went and bought 3 more boxes. We all love it. I know that all of you out there that have taken the plunge have also loved it. I'm telling you, if you haven't done it already, do it, because guess what? You can get $10 off by putting in promo code Locked On. So you're only spending like a couple dollars, if that, per protein bar. And they're less calories, low carb, real chocolate, everything you want from a protein bar. Take that plunge, go to BuiltBar.com, put in promo code Locked On, get $10 off of that box, free shipping. I'm telling you, you are not going to regret it. All right, so we will talk about what I saw at West Bloomfield at Oak Park. At the end, I'm sure that'll be a really quick wrap-up, but let's transition into the weekend of the NFL. I did not get to watch the Thursday night game because it was on NFL Network, I believe, and I don't have that anymore. So, and I didn't care to subscribe to it just to watch the Bengals and Browns. I mean, come on. Plus, I'm mostly following Michigan players, and Michigan players really showed out this weekend, particularly in the night game last night. I mean, that was a game last night. The Patriots at the Seahawks. You had a total, I believe, of what? 4 guys in that particular game. Uche still isn't playing. for the Patriots. But you still had Chase Winovich and Michael Onwenu. Both played a lot. Onwenu helped spring a touchdown. Chase Winovich threw Carlos Hyde aside like a freaking rag doll in what was one of the most impressive feats of athleticism that we've seen this college football season already, or sorry, NFL season already. And then you had the game winner was essentially Delano Hill, or he goes by Lano Hill now, for the Seahawks, setting the edge on a goal line stand as time expired, which and also getting to the to quarterback Cam Newton, who kept the ball. So that was huge. But on top of that, I mean, you had other big plays. Rashawn Gary got 2 sacks against the Detroit Lions, and I had people being like, well, it's the Detroit Lions. Listen, they're still a, believe it or not, a professional football team. Now, we might differ on what the word professional means, because Lions aren't exactly, you know, anything to ever write home about, but I mean, they've got some players. Okuda looked terrible, by the way, but it was his first game ever against one of the best offenses in all of pro football, so it is what it is. But Rashawn Gary absolutely just, I mean, because not only did he get the 2 sacks, one of them was absolutely huge because it was right in that period where the Lions had a chance to make something happen and didn't, but he also essentially forced that pick six on Matthew Stafford by getting in his face. So Gary was huge. John Runyon Jr. got some play. Jordan Glasgow got his first career tackle in the NFL. I didn't get to see it and I couldn't find video of it, but I believe it was on, I would assume it was on special teams, because that's what he's, that's what they were really hoping for him to be, is a big special team standout there in Indianapolis. And then you had the other game, which was just so phenomenal to watch. The Chargers hosting the Kansas City Chiefs. Frank Clark went out early with an illness, but he did get a couple tackles. But Mike Dana and Taco Charlton really showed out in that game. And I think what they were able to do went a long way towards securing the late victory, the overtime victory for the Chiefs. 3 defensive ends for Kansas City from Michigan. I mean, that's great as it is. And not only are the former Michigan players standing out, some of the former Michigan coaches, particularly Pep Hamilton with the Los Angeles Chargers, with Justin Herbert making that surprise start. Herbert looked like a polished product in his first ever game against one of the tougher defenses in the country, the Super Bowl champions. And Cam Newton looks like his career has completely had a resurgence with Jed Fish in New England. So all in all, pretty solid weekend for Michigan guys in the pros. You go to Wolverine's Wire, I mean, we've got clips up and down of these guys absolutely showing out. I mean, I think one of the most fun ones, aside from Chase and Lano's play, was one I couldn't get video of, but Taco Charlton, when he sacked Justin Herbert, when in absolute crunch time, goal line, in late in regulation. It was Charlton at first, and Herbert also got hit by Dana. I think it speaks volumes that you're seeing some of these Michigan guys really standing out right now, where it you know, like the week before, like I remember seeing some of my colleagues on the Ohio State side saying, like, everywhere you look, Ohio State guys are making plays. This weekend, it was everywhere you look, Michigan guys are making plays, while Ohio State guys were just kind of there, right? I mean, there's a lot of Ohio State guys on the Lions. Taylor Decker, Jonah Jackson, Jeffrey Okuda. What did they do? Carlos Hyde got thrown aside like a rag doll by Chase Winovich. Some of these guys got it, and it's great to see. All right, let's continue on. That's all I got. Let me finish out with this, though. Y'all know that I am not the biggest NFL fan. I had the most fun watching the games yesterday than I've had in years. I thought it was just a phenomenal day of NFL football. Save for the Lions. But I think that's probably an evergreen statement. All right, let's move forward. Let's talk about West Bloomfield Oak Park. My conversations with Donovan Edwards, what I saw from Donovan Edwards, and just as importantly, Dylan Tatum. That dude is an absolute beast. All right, so I went without a Claritin, which is why I still feel not great, but worth it, though. Absolutely worth it. Going to see West Bloomfield at Oak Park. Really only paid attention to the first half. I missed a Donovan Edwards touchdown, a late one, but he had three touchdowns in this game, which, I mean, pretty solid, especially because he wasn't really running amok, but he did a little bit of everything, as he says he does. Played running back, kick and punt returner, wide receiver, wildcat quarterback, does a little bit of everything. I don't think I mentioned when I talked about Edwards last time that I'll mention it now. I've been told that he's at the top of Ohio State's board, that they had him higher than the two that they do have, including Travion Henderson. I don't know how true that is, but that's what I was told. I mean, the guy is just an absolute monster. Now, I talked to him very briefly afterwards. Since I talked to him a week ago, I didn't need to do a long interview, but I just wanted to see, like, hey, dead period's extended to January 1st. What are you going to do about visits? And he's like, it is? I didn't know that. But he's still gonna find his way to Oklahoma. I still feel like it's a Michigan-Georgia battle. Oklahoma very much could be in it. I think Michigan's in it. Again, though, if I had a crystal ball, I would not have it in for any school. I don't think it, like, I think it is way too premature for anyone to say with any amount of confidence that he can end up at Michigan. So, we'll see. Dylan Tatum, that dude, absolute beast, and he showed it right out the gates. First play from scrimmage, a 32-yard run, got caught at the 10-yard line, but I mean, just absolute beast. Next run, 12 yards. Next run, 14 yards, and then I didn't see him get the ball again. On defense, he's normally a safety, but he was playing weak side linebacker, and Oak Park was always running away from him the entire time. Now, again, they didn't have Rashawn Benny, who plays both ways. That's huge when you don't have a, you know, a Power 5 guy not playing. They don't have Justin Rogers on that team anymore. They don't have Malik Carr on that team anymore. But I expected a much more competitive game, and West Bloomfield just wiped the floor with him. Edwards wearing Michigan gloves. Dylan Tatum wearing Michigan State gloves, but put zero stock into what gloves they're wearing, okay? Unless they're in, like, the all, you know, the All-American game, and that's a statement. Like, David Long with his Michigan armbands. But in a game like this, whatever, they're going to wear whatever they have. It's not necessarily a statement of where they're going to go. I think people need to wake up more to the fact that Dylan Tatum is an absolute elite talent. I think that dude is just an absolute beast. Finally getting to see him play in person. I mean, good Lord. He's unstoppable. I thought he was the best guy on the field, more so even than Edwards off of what limited I saw. And that's saying something. That's not a knock on Donovan Edwards, because Edwards was plenty dominant. I think Dylan Tatum is a guy that you just got to be excited about. And I think Michigan, if I did have a crystal ball still, I actually probably would put it in for Michigan and Dylan Tatum. I think that they're doing the best job at recruiting him. I'll have more on him on Wolverine's Wire soon. I have my interview. I just haven't transcribed it yet and put up anything. That'll probably come sometime later today on Monday. But yeah, I think I think Dylan Tatum is something. Anyway, that's going to do it for us today. We're going to keep it nice and short. We're going to be back tomorrow because we're back in our 5-day-a-week grind, I think. At least that is my goal. Don't yell at me if it doesn't happen, but that is my goal, is to continue these podcasts, just get them in the 5 day a week. Now that we know that there is supposed to be a season, we'll find something to talk about, because we'll have things to talk about. So that's exciting. That'll do it. So thanks for listening. Locked On Wolverines podcast tomorrow. If anything, you can catch me on Locked On College Football with Zach Blackerby. That'll definitely be happening, and probably here as well. Thank you for listening. Peace.